Hi, and welcome to this introduction to what we call the second look. My name is Carola Mantel, and I would like to share a few thoughts on the body conversations that you do. You know, this second look can be really amazing. We've been working with this idea for many years now, and often it is so impressive that a situation can look quite different when you don't just leave it to the first impression, but take time for a second look. Usually we experience things and then things just take their course, but sometimes we also experience things and we actually stop for a moment and take a second look, and sometimes this can make such a big difference. In the body conversations that you do, you go through 6 steps according to the table that you were given. And you start by choosing a situation that you've experienced. It can be something that you struggle with, something negative in a way. It can also be something positive. It can be something that happened just recently, or something from the past, some kind of a story of the past, from the past, that still moves you in a way, and you just want to try and see what it looks like on second look. As you are studying abroad and you are far from home at the moment, it's very likely that you experience a lot of interesting things, and it would be great to choose some of these for the body conversations, and hopefully these conversations will support your experience in a good way. So there are 6 steps, and I will go along the 6 steps and say a few words about each of them. The first step is really simple. Just tell the story. Just tell it as it was. And you can't do anything wrong to tell the story, including any kind of judgments you might have had. It can be interesting to ask, how did I actually evaluate all of this, perhaps without even realizing it? It's helpful to simply name it. That way the invisible becomes more visible, and everything we can see is something we can influence more consciously. And then there's the question about the body sensation. How did the story actually feel? And this is not about saying something like, I'm so angry because he really shouldn't have said that, or I'm so sad because this and this and that. If we did that, we would go right back into the story. But the goal is actually not to go back into the story, but to come out of the story for a moment. And for that purpose, it's helpful to put your attention to how it actually feels in the body. What we're looking for is not the mental interpretation, but actually the raw physical sensation. For example, where is it cold or warm? Where is it tense or relaxed? Some people say their hands get particularly cold or warm, or their neck gets tight. There's so many different ways of describing this, and you can also be really creative and use metaphors, for example. And the body in the conversation is invited to just listen. I mean, yes, you can say it if something was missing in the first step, or if there's something you didn't understand, but it's better not to comment on the content, because if you say, yes, I understand, I'd be angry too, it wasn't okay of that person to say such and such, then you'd go back into the story. But here we don't actually want to be entangled in the story again and in the interpretations of the story. We want to let it settle for a moment and just acknowledge how it feels. And if you let the story settle a bit, there's a good starting ground to find the second look afterwards. So as a body, just listen. And somebody said to me the other day, when I'm just listening, I'm not actually doing anything. But I would say, yes, you're actually doing a lot, because you are giving your full attention. And that's a lot, I would say. And the second step is now very simple. Just pause for a moment. There is this beautiful quote by the Irish poet David White, who said, if you want to start a new conversation, you first have to stop the one you're having. And that's so true, isn't it? And that's what it's about, stopping the story for a moment, bringing it to a standstill, gaining a little bit of time. And there's so many different ways you can do that. And the simplest form is just follow your breathing and enjoy it, especially exhaling really slowly and feeling your body all the way down to your toes. And with a little practice, this can make quite a difference. Perhaps you can even notice how it feels differently. I've been told from a perspective of neurophysiology, apparently it is known that with such a simple technique as pausing and putting attention to your breathing, some changes happen in the body that can actually be measured. And that's amazing. It's so simple. The third step is to go on a search for the second look. And there are a few things that can support this. First, it's simply a matter of looking at the situation again without judgment. What does the story actually look like if I don't judge anything, just look at it? Or let's say if I have less judgment about it, because often it's really difficult to avoid judgment altogether. And that doesn't mean that I have to approve of everything. Actually, if I approve of everything, that would be another judgment. But it's rather that I have a new perspective, a more neutral one. Some people say it helps them to imagine they are a bird looking down on the situation, or to imagine you are a researcher who is simply curious and just wants to understand. And then you can also try to change the perspective. You can try to understand what the world looks like when I see it through your eyes. And when I also understand a bit more clearly what kind of context shapes you or shapes the situation. This could be about life stories. It can also be about institutional circumstances or about social or political conditions, etc., depending on the kind of stories. And trying to change perspective is something we never quite achieve. I think that's good to keep in mind. I never fully know how everything looks like from my counterpart's perspective, how it feels and so on. But I can perhaps get an idea of it, I can investigate and I can try. And something that happens very often, and I think it's a good thing, is that I realize there's so many things I don't know. There's so many questions I cannot answer, but I think that's good to see them. It's good that I found them. Sometimes I feel a bit more humble about the situation because it's so clear how much I do not know. And interestingly, I can acknowledge that quite easily when I'm in a state of the second look. At first glance, we often want a quick and a clear answer and maybe an easy answer. But on second look, often we are much more able to acknowledge the unanswered questions and take them with us, even maybe hold a space for them. If I think about this, I myself often don't feel understood by others. So it's quite obvious that I will not be able to understand others all the time. And that's okay. And it's a really good ground for everything that comes after. When I'm aware of all the things I don't know, it's so much easier to listen, to be curious, and to continue learning, always discovering new things. Depending on what you are currently experiencing, there could be a situation that really requires a response from your side. Perhaps there is a conflict or something where you know you really need to respond to that. And this second look doesn't mean, as I said, that we have to approve of everything, but it does give me a better ground to find a good response, not just to react to a situation, but to respond to it in a good way. Maybe it's important that you talk to someone or to the people involved And maybe you're also familiar with the idea of nonviolent communication. I think this is such a great form of communication. And I think this kind of communication works so much better when I found this so-called second look. I was in a conversation with another teacher the other day, and she said that when she has a situation at school, say with parents or with students of her class, the first thing she says to herself is, it's okay the way it is. She said it was really important for her because otherwise, she said, you go in there with the wrong energy. That were the words that she used. And they really impressed me. I think it shows so beautifully that it's a really good idea to just acknowledge things as they are. Also acknowledge the people the way they are. You know, everyone has their own story. The others have their stories, and I also have my stories in my backpack, so to speak. The fourth step is to pause again together. And when you do that a few times, you will probably feel what this moment can do for you. And the fifth step is the one of self-awareness. And I often think this is the most important and an exciting step. When I discover something about myself that I wasn't aware of before, perhaps something about my life story, how I grew up, and I've been socialized, or something about the social class that I come from and what that entails, or about my social position, how it affects the ways I am perceiving or the ways I am perceived. Yes, but something that happens really commonly here is that we are really harsh on ourselves, even merciless sometimes. And this is not what we intend in this step. I sometimes think if we spoke to our friends the way we sometimes speak to ourselves, we would probably not have any friends anymore. So please try to pay attention to the tone of voice that you use when you talk to yourself during this step. What would it actually sound like if it was a good friend who said this to you? I guess it would probably be friendly, and it would probably be honest as well. So friendly and honest would be a good motto for this fifth step. And now comes step six, and here you're invited to tell each other how are you at the moment. This can be related to the story that you just talked about, or it can also be about your daily life in general, whatever it is that is most important to you at the moment. We have found that it is really difficult to see things from a different perspective when you're not feeling well for whatever reason. And in this case, the first thing to do is to find something that can bring you back into balance. I'm sure we all have our different strategies for doing that. Some people prefer to do sports, for example, or make sure they get enough sleep, or talk to someone you trust, do yoga, listen to music, make music, journal, go for a walk in the forest, whatever it is, whatever your favorite strategy is. The important thing is that you have something you can do when you're not feeling well. And while you're abroad, it can also be great to try something different from what you usually do. And this expands your personal repertoire, and you might discover something new and find, oh, that's really great for me too. So these are the six steps. And it's good to find a rhythm to do these body conversations regularly. And the goal, of course, is for this second look to be something that supports your everyday life. In everyday life, you can always ask yourself, where am I right now? Am I in the first glance, or am I in the second look at the moment? And if I'm in the first glance, or in the first glance, yeah, what can I do to shift? I think that after a while, when you do that regularly, you can feel it. And over time, the second look can also change. It can deepen, it can become more natural. You are invited to experiment and see what all this does for you and how you can use the tool for yourself, how it works for you. The important thing is to use it regularly, to really cultivate it. And things like this take time and they take a lot of practice. And what we're talking about here is not a small thing. It is actually the core of professionalization in educational practice. The second look is a translation of what professionalization can be at its core. Teachers who cultivate this kind of second look attitude are clearly the better teachers. And this applies to daily school life in general. And I think it is particularly significant for daily school life in the context of social inequalities and migration. And I will say more about this in my next contribution, so maybe you'll tune in. And I wish you a wonderful, enjoyable and exciting stay. And I hope you also find some situations where you're a little bit challenged, because I believe that it is the challenging situations in particular that are the ones that can make us grow.